And why is it Christ? Why not Buddha? Or why not someone other religion? Why Christ specifically?
I guess that's if, you know, you are strict to the Christian beliefs, I suppose. You know, and it's hard for me to say because I kind of... I'm not going to say I'm a skeptic because I am spiritual and I do believe, you know, but I'm very logical. So, you know, I kind of think in the sense of, you know, if somebody is a different religion and they believe in that, then they believe that they're going to ascend to whatever it is that they believe in based off of that. And so if we're basing it off of Christianity and you use Christ as the connection from us to God in the sense that we need Jesus Christ to connect to God, and if you truly believe in that and abide by those rules, then you can get to it. I just want to say it's interesting. I just had a conversation with some of my coworkers, and we were just talking about Christianity, just a general discussion. And I was talking about how, well, she mentioned first, you know, how he works in mysterious ways, right? And I was like, you know, it's interesting that you say that because this conversation itself could have been a sign. It could have been a message, right? And it's super interesting that this just happened yesterday. And now I'm walking through and then this happened. Yeah. So it's very enlightening. If we apply the laws and logics of what the Bible says and what Christianity is based off of, then, you know, they would say that you are forgiven as long as you accept Christ. This, you know, if we follow by what the most common beliefs of Christians, at least from what I experience, are, then, you know, if you believe in Christ and follow Christ and repent for your sins, then you would be accepted into heaven, from my best knowledge.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's good. I'm grateful that you said that. So why would we have to go to heaven, and why is it Christ? Why not Buddha, or why not someone other religion? Why Christ specifically?
I guess that's if, you know, you are strict to the Christian beliefs, I suppose, you know, and it's hard for me to say because I'm not going to say I'm a skeptic because I am spiritual and I do believe, you know, but I'm very logical. So, you know, I kind of think in the sense of, you know, if somebody is a different religion and they believe in that, then they believe that they're going to ascend to whatever it is that they believe in based off of that. And so if we're basing it off of Christianity and you use Christ as the connection from us to God in the sense that we need Jesus Christ to connect to God, and if you truly believe in that and abide by those rules, then you can get to heaven.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I thank you for your thoughts. But from your background, I want to help you understand something, okay? The book of Acts says that there's no other name under heaven which we can be saved, and his name is Jesus, okay? So, with that being said, there's only one way, according to the Christian faith, that someone can be right, made right with God, which ultimately says that Buddhists, not the right way, they need Jesus just like you need Jesus, or Islam is not the right way, they need Jesus just like you do. So if that's true, okay, and Jesus said, I'm the only way, the truth, and the life, no one can come to the Father but through me. So if that, if what he said is true, then other people going without him is false. Does that make sense?
Right.
It kind of contradicts itself.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
So if there's this coexisting where everybody goes based on what they own believe, then the Christian faith contradicts itself. So I want to explain to you why he's the only way.
Okay.
Because most people think that they're good people. That's why we ask, do the good person test, right? And if I just do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to be fine with God. But as we surveyed three of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty, right?
Yeah.
Lying, thieving, adulterer at heart. If I were to ask those same questions to a Muslim, lying, thieving, adulterer at heart, because more than likely they've lied, more than likely they've stolen, more than likely they've looked with lust, right? And I've had these conversations with them. You understand what I'm saying? So if God were to judge us based on that standard, which he says in the book of Acts, I encourage you to read it because it's...
What's the book of Acts?
The book of Acts is in the Bible.
Okay.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts is after the resurrection. What happened after the resurrection? You've heard of St. Paul?
Yes.
St. Paul is the one who says what I'm about to quote.
Okay.
He said, God has commanded, and he said this not to a bunch of Christians. He said this to a bunch of pagans. He said, God has commanded all men everywhere, not just the Jew, to repent. Why? Because he set aside a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Well, righteousness means to be right by God, to be in right standing with him, to not break his laws. The problem is we've broken his laws. So if we are judged in righteousness according to his laws, we're in trouble. The whole world is in trouble. Okay? So what do you have to do? What do I have to do? What does the whole world have to do? If we're in trouble with God and we got to pay for our crimes, how are we going to escape? Do you know?
Repent for your sins?
Well, you can go to court. Repent means to stop doing it. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Okay.
All right? If I stole 20 cars and then stand before the judge and say, "Judge, I'm never going to steal a car again. Sincerely, I won't." He can't let me go. Why? Because I have to pay for the crimes that I've already committed. Does that make sense?
Right. So it's kind of the same rule almost applies when we're talking about Jesus or God, you're saying.
Well,
in a different way.
What sin means is to break the law.
Right.
What it literally means.
Okay.
So when you lie, you can say, "God, I'm never going to lie again." But the problem is you've lied yesterday or you lied this morning.
Gotcha.
You're guilty of that, so you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
You might not ever do it again. That's what repentance is. I'm never going to do it again. It doesn't change what you've already done.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Right, right.
I killed somebody 10 years ago. I haven't done it since. Well, I still got to pay the fine for what I did 10 years ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And God's going to hold us accountable for what we've done. Because if he were just to let us go, that means that he's unjust. And he doesn't care if people commit crimes. He's not going to punish them.
Right.
But he's good. So he has to hold people accountable. And that's a problem for me because I'm guilty.
Right.
It's a problem for you because you're guilty,
right?
Right? So what did God do for guilty people like you and me so that we wouldn't have to go to hell? We wouldn't have to pay the penalty of our crimes. What did he do?
He sacrificed his son.
He sacrificed his son. It's like this. Jonathan, you and I broke God's law, the Ten Commandments. We've sinned against God. And there's hell to pay. The Bible says that every liar will have their part in the lake of fire, and no thief or adulterer will inherit the kingdom of God. If that's true, I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. Our only hope is to put our trust in the fact that he paid our fine. Because if he didn't pay our fine, you and I have to.
Gotcha.
It's like this. If you owe $500,000 for selling drugs, because you're a drug dealer, hypothetically.
Yeah.
Unless you are you?
You caught me. I'm out of here.
If you owe $500,000, and the judge says, "Jonathan, do you have $500,000 to pay your fine?"
I definitely do not.
Yeah. Well, you got to go to prison for 50 years. So as you're being let out of prison by the bailiff, somebody stands up and says, "Wait a second, Judge, I got $500,000 I want to pay on behalf of Jonathan. He doesn't know me, but I care about him, and I don't want him to experience what happens in prison." You've heard stories, if you haven't been there, what happens in prison. Gang rape, violence, murder, torment, right? So the guy says, "Here's $500,000. The judge says, "Bailiff, stop. Release Jonathan. His fine's been paid. He's free to go." Now, how would you feel towards a person that paid that fine for you?
I feel grateful for sure. I feel grateful, thankful, you know, and probably, you know, never be able to repay that person, at least financially, you know. I try to pay him back however I could, whether it's a good deed or, you know, but other than that, I mean, I'd be extremely grateful for sure.
Would you go sell drugs again?
No.
That makes sense. That's obvious, right? See, and that's exactly what God did for us through the cross. We think we're good. Hey, we're going to get to heaven. We're good. I'm not bad. I'm not like these other... Yeah, bless you, bud. We're not like other people. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done anything. But we're liars. We're thieves. And every liar will have their part in the lake of fire. We're in trouble. But God demonstrated his love for you, Jonathan. And his love for the world, but for you specifically. That while you're yet a sinner, Christ died for you because he loves you. So that you can be free from the consequence and then live your life to honor him. In other words, repent. Your kindness caused, his kindness and what he did caused you to say, "I'm not going to sell drugs anymore. I'm going to stop stealing. I'm going to stop lying because I want to honor what he did." Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there are two things that you need to do to go to heaven. Number one, put your trust, number one, in that what Jesus did for you on the cross, right? Or you're going to have to pay the fine. And that God raised him from the dead, and then live your life to honor him. What you can't put your trust in is your own goodness. That'd be like jumping out of an airplane saying, "I can flap my arms to save me from this fall."
Yeah.
That ain't gonna work. What's gonna work is you transferring your trust to the parachute. I'm gonna put the parachute on, because I can't save myself, but the parachute can save me. Jesus is your parachute. Does that make sense? Put your whole hope. You don't put your half your hope in that parachute. You put everything in. You put your life in faith that that thing's going to save you. And in the same way, you put your faith in what God's going to do, what God did for you through Christ. Right? That's why there's no other name under heaven which people can be saved. That's why the Buddhists need it. They need the parachute just like you do. Does that make sense? Salvation's a gift. All you got to do is receive it, my friend. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Thank you.
Amen. Appreciate you talking to me.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to say it's interesting. I just had a conversation with some of my coworkers, and we were just talking about Christianity, just the general discussion. And I was talking about how, well, she mentioned first, you know, how he works in mysterious ways, right? And I was like, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because this conversation itself could have been a sign. It could have been a message, right? And it's super interesting that this just happened yesterday, and now I'm walking through it, and this happened. So it's very enlightening.
Well, Jonathan, here's reality. God is drawing you to himself. It's crystal clear. With what you just experienced yesterday and what you just told me and what you're experiencing right now, God wants you to know that he has not forgotten about you, that you are his, and he's drawing you to himself. He's letting you know how much he loves you. He doesn't care. It's not about the shortcomings, the failures, the heartbreak, the disappointments that you've experienced. Your joy and your peace, he wants you to know, is found in him. He's your source. He's the source of your peace. He's the source of your joy. He's the source of your hope. He's the source of your love. He wants you to understand how much he loved you, that he's allowed you to have the conversation yesterday, and he's drawn you to this street corner of all places that you could have been on a Saturday afternoon at this time. He's like, I want you to know, he wants you to know how much he cares about you, and that you are made for him, and that what he wants you to do is to surrender and give your heart and life to him. That's what's happening. Now, I'm a spiritual person. I believe that with everything that I am. God loves you, man, and he's brought you here for this very reason, so that you know that he is your answer. You feel that, don't you?
Yep. Amen to that.
You feel that, don't you? I know. I feel it. I feel it, man. Listen, when are you going to put your trust 100% in Christ? When are you going to do that, man, once and for all? When are you going to do that and give your life to him? When are you going to do that?
I can do that. I can do it.
Like now?
I can do it now. Sure. Yeah.
Man, that's what it's about, brother. If you don't mind, I'd like to just pray with you real quick. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Pray with you, man. Father, I thank you for John. I thank you for his life. I thank you, God, that you brought him to this place, God, by your Spirit. Lord, you brought him to this place. Father, I thank you for the conversation he had with friends about you and about these things.
Why would he let you into heaven?
And that's the million-dollar question. Why would he let me into heaven?
I don't think the Bible is real in a different sense than Shakespeare is real.
I'm guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Heaven.
Why is that?
Because I'm a sinner saved by grace. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
The whole ministry is based on seek to save the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost.